Blog Talk Radio.
Sorry, we're coming on the show a little late today. I had some technical difficulties. That's what happened when you're working with broadband technology. You know, it isn't as reliable sometimes as the old analog broadcast stuff that we've been used to. Today's show, again, is the third part of a series that we've been doing on current events. And particularly today, we're dealing with fear, the fear in the electorate. We've been, over the last two or three weeks, everything that you've been seeing across your news waves, everything you've been seeing across social media, everything has been trying to get you hyped up and amped up over some type of event to make you feel apprehensive in some type of way, hopefully calling you to action. And the first thing you know that I did, when I first came up with the concept of the show, I was talking, what was originally on my mind was ISIS. But that's switched now because more we're sitting there talking about Ebola. I mean, everyone is posting memes about Ebola. People are posting links about Ebola. That's all you see on the news, Ebola. The image of what Ebola looks like under a microscope is becoming a symbol that people readily recognize. But let's look at the news stories and some of the things that come up behind Ebola. A couple weeks ago, we had the doctors get brought back over from Africa who had been tested positive with Ebola. And with that being done, we had people on the right starting to scream, people on the left starting to scream, oh my God, you're bringing these people over here. Can we quarantine them? Can we do this? Can we do that? Are we prepared for this? We brought them over. We cured these people. And you got people running around wearing masks, talking about their throat scratch, talking about all the different ways you can get Ebola. Well, things are being put up saying, okay, you can't catch Ebola like this, but people are still, like, fearful over Ebola. You know, people are attaching their Ebola to the zombie apocalypse. And, you know, the world is coming to an end because we have Ebola. You know, in America, one person died last week from Ebola, and now you're having the race card being thrown in. Did he die because he was black? And the government, or the hospitals, or whoever the powers to be didn't want to give him the medicine because he was black, which added another fear factor in on just on Ebola. I mean, then you got to stand there to fear the immigrant population over Ebola. We need to close the southern borders. We need to close the southern borders. And the Republicans are attempting to get traction amongst left-leaning thinking people who are scared of a pathogen by saying, yeah, we ought to close the borders. Now you get ready to prepare to throw out everything that we work for because there's a disease now. And you might catch it. So we don't fall into the same pattern they fall into, this fear-mongering. They know, oh, we can shut down the borders now because I might die from Ebola. In which the chances of you dying of Ebola in America is very slim. That was a meme that posted 10 diseases that were worse than Ebola that we actually die from here in America. We got people who are not vaccinating their children. So you have stuff like whooping cough and the measles, which kill at a lot faster rate once they are main at a lot faster rate, a lot more contagious. But we don't care about it because it's not Ebola. It's not some exotic disease that is from overseas somewhere that we don't understand. We get the same way when people get talking about SARS and bird flu. It's from somewhere else. You know, like it's a foreign planet. It's from somewhere else. It didn't develop in America. So it's an extra super nasty disease or something, for lack of a better word. Super nasty disease because it's not an American disease. And we've become fearful. and we start making really shady decisions, and we really start acting like idiots. Now, I'm not saying, you know, we don't shouldn't protect ourselves, this, that, another, but it's not as bad. Sorry, the sky's not falling, people. Chicken Little, the sky's not falling, you know. But at the same time, you ask yourself, why have the Republicans, who have denied health care, they want to destroy health care in America, the same people who want to defund the CDC because that's too much government, well, I don't see any private individuals or private entities showing up to try to, you know, stop Ebola yet until they see a profit from it. And that all being treating the symptoms and not curing the ill. You know, so what's the big deal? Let's, you know, let's calm down a little bit. Let's get thinking properly. Now, when I first started talking about this, we were talking about fear, and I said the reason I wanted to talk about ISIS. Well, even that has been attached. I've heard some rumblings about that and Ebola. That is a weaponized version that is being used upon America to wipe us out. Okay. Give me some proof, people. Show me something other than saying it. Well, ISIS is doing that. We can't allow ourselves to be beholden to fear. It's just not going to work. So, I mean, we really need to buckle down and think about the issues that we're putting ourselves on top of because of fear. You know, you hear from Republicans a lot these days because I think the fear, now fear is not necessarily a bad thing because that's things that we need to be scared of in this country. But it's the outlandish things that we'll be made be fearful of that really irks me. But let's talk about some of the things that we ought to be scared of. If we use Ebola, what we ought to be scared of is the fact that even though this disease has been showing up in our country, we need to be scared of their states, which lack, matter of fact, Medicaid expansion dollars, which hospitals are shutting down. And so let's say, for instance, if we did allow somebody to come back in the country from, let's say, one of these lovely, lovely fundamentalist mission trips to Africa to save the children, in which fundamentalist evangelical Christians love to go on, one of them having to make it back on a plane before the fever and stuff starts, and they go off to their little rural town somewhere here in Georgia where the hospital just got shut down, and it's 2 or 3 hours till they get to the closest hospital to even begin to get treated, and they're at home, and they're sitting up sick at church, and they're sitting up there getting, they hugging and kissing everybody because they back from their mission trip, and it's about time the fever starts, and they start, they hurling on everybody in the church. Yeah, this is crazy, I know. But they're hurling on everybody in the church, which we know Ebola can be passed by vomit. And so this person's sick, and they're like, oh, he's sick, we need to take him home because we can't afford, we ain't nobody got the gas to go drive all the way to, let's say, Columbus from somewhere out in South Georgia, or they can't get to Valdosta or Macon or wherever it is they need to get because the local rural hospital has been shut down. And then if it is open, it probably isn't properly funded enough to be able to deal with an isolation yesterday. So that person goes to the rural hospital or don't and transport it, and this person goes through, and then they start throwing up at the gas station halfway down, and they don't clean it up, so that gets passed on. That's what we need to be fearful of, people, is the fact that we don't have Medicaid expansion in this country. We don't have the proper facilities that come through it here in this country or here in the state of Georgia, that if it did happen somewhere outside of a metro area, we're able to do it. That's where government comes in. That's why you can sit there and talk to the Republicans about smaller government. You can sit there and talk about libertarians for almost no government. But what I can tell you is this. the government, because why would not a private company set up a hospital in a rural area? Not profitable. The government's job is not to be profitable, but provide services where they're needed. But see, this is the game that we're playing, and this is what you ought to be fearful of, that these games are being played here in Georgia by the Republican-dominated legislature could put you possibly more in danger of catching Ebola than the CDC being underfunded. Because we don't have rural hospitals in Georgia that can be funded properly, that are closing down. That's where patient zero will show up. That's why we need to go out and vote these people out of office. If you want to talk about fear-mongering, that's something that's real. It isn't that the city that's talking about, oh, the Mexicans are burning. The Mexicans ain't been to West Africa. They haven't been to West Africa. But we're going to shut down the southern borders because of Ebola. That's scaring you, but you're using that fear of Ebola to move your agenda. But that's the agenda that needs to be moved. What about health care in America? Ebola is a health care problem. We have bad health. We have a paralyzed health care system in this country, particularly here in the state of Georgia, because of Republican lack of thought. But yet we keep voting them into office. We keep letting them come in and say these little crazy things they want to say. And people go, ooh, that's something you ought to be scared of, is the fact that lack of Medicaid expansion in Georgia, one, is keeping people from having health care, so if they were to get sick, they couldn't go anywhere to get treatment because they'd be scared, because they scared they're going to go out there and get themselves in bankruptcy for something that might be, you know, they have the food, they think it's Ebola, they go in, they got a $300 bill, they ain't got $300, so then they say, you know, you got collections calling you, this, that, and the other, blah, 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 you got stress, depression, now you can't go to work, now that stuff starts popping up on top of here. That's some real fear scenarios right there, with lack of Medicaid expansion come in. Or the person actually has it, can't find a real hospital, spreads the disease because they have to come way into the city, can't get proper care because of the lack of Medicaid expansion. I can go on for days bringing up scenarios in which this falls in line, but you see what I'm saying. And if you don't believe in it, I sound crazy to you. But that's a real situation. Let's talk about another film after this break. Welcome back. This is Scout. This is Dallas House and Dirty with Scout Smith. Just before I went off on my little short break right there, we were talking about the second fear, the fear of not being able to vote. There's also been something that a lot of fear mongering has been placed around. Here in Georgia, when we start talking about the Sunday voting thing, and we had Frank Millar out of DeKalb County making a threat that he's going to make sure that we stop this Sunday voting thing, because if we let them vote, you know, these minorities vote, this, that, and other, the Democrats will win, and blah, blah, blah. Fear-mongering amongst the Republican base. And the reason that they don't like voting is, and then they want to shorten it up because there's too many people voting. Too many people voting is a bad thing? Wow. Then the way they want to do voter registration and holding voter registrations in hostage for, because there's a possible fraud, which we now know that probably does not exist. But what's the fraud? That people are registered to vote that ought not be registered to vote, and they've been registered to vote or coerced to vote or whatever, however you want to say that. What's wrong with more people voting? The only voter fraud that we seem to keep finding here in America deals with candidates. Now, we all want to talk about the Republican, I think it was in Arkansas, where she was registered to vote in one place, registered to vote in multiple places, this, that, and the other, and they disqualified her from the ballot. Well, the moment I put that up, somebody brought me up a Democrat in another state It may have been Iowa, Idaho, Illinois, or somewhere like that. It was one of the I states in which a Democrat had 19 counts of voter fraud. And I'm sitting there thinking, dang, she got 14. She, no, 19 different people. No, again, it was all her and her voter registration record. Whether she was voting at this, that, and other, she was illegally placed. It was the candidates. Nobody's yet showed me some voter fraud based on the fact that a bunch of people got together and fraudulently skewed the electorate. They haven't showed it. It's all been candidates. Or it's always been a political body that is doing it. But the laws are being forced upon us deal with individuals at the polling booth. And even when you do find the occasional fraud, they are less than 1/10% of the entire vote cast in the country for it to even be a point. Yeah, okay, so I got one or two people, that's bad. That's bad. But that one person, I promise you, most elections, even tight ones, are decided than more than one person. And so we got one person, one precinct out of a whole district that did something, and it's the one time they've done it that you see it in maybe 30 years, and now you need to have, and the person usually unwillingly know they did something wrong. In most cases, oh, I didn't know that I did it. They can explain it. But yes, fear to put over. Oh, the immigrants might vote. No, the immigrants are not voting. They barely, the illegal immigrants are not trying to vote. They trying to keep their head down. They know they're here illegally. You know, you might have a Canadian who might get away with it, been living here 10 years for some reason, might think, oh, I'm a citizen now. And you'll let them go vote. You wouldn't even question them, even sign up, or why they got an identification card. You know, it ain't like if you get a license in the United States. If you have all the proper material, it does not say on there whether or not you're a citizen or not. No, it doesn't. It does not say you're a citizen. Nobody scans it. All I got to do is show it, the register to vote, blah, 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 and if you might slip through the system. So it doesn't matter. So the ID fails itself right now. So we got these questions of all this different fear about voter fraud and the fact that we might vote in large numbers. That's the true fear. We will vote in large numbers. Same day voting. Well, same day registration and voting. Don't like that. Why? Because something always, and they notice in each election, something always comes up the night before the election. And everybody goes, oh, man, I wish I had registered to vote. Oh, man, I wish I hadn't voted on it. Oh, man. And so but that could change up some stuff. You might do something stupid at the last minute, and it causes you to lose your election because now you got all these people, they go in there and register to vote. Day of, and it happened. And that you can do to control that. See, that's the whole reason people want to have all these different limits. They give them control. They don't like gun control, but they like vote control. We got to keep our guns, save the republic. We got to limit votes, save the republic. Save the republic for who? Them. Not us. This is not a color thing. It's a values issue. We value true freedom and liberty with equal opportunity. See, freedom and liberty without equal opportunity is nothing. Because being without equal opportunity, the liberty and freedom goes to those who can pay for the liberty and the freedom. Because that's what it basically comes down to in America. You are free. And you have liberty if you can afford it. Let me say that again. In America, you can have freedom and liberty if you can afford it, and that's the way they want it to be. If liberty and freedom is a commodity, but if you add equal opportunity to it, then it becomes an inalienable right. It goes down to what the foundations of America are supposed to be. So the fear of people voting scared those people who right now are the only people who can have liberty and freedom and therefore can control the government, therefore controlling the economic situation in this country, controlling everything that fits their narrow-minded view of what America is supposed to look like. We can't allow that, people. We have to get out and go vote. And they also want you to be fearful of inexperience. I'm really, you know, what you need to be fear of is not being qualified. Or what you need to be fearful of is stupidity. Even a lack of qualification, stupidity, because an unqualified person, if they are intelligent, you may have never ran or anything in your life, but you're intelligent. You can go in and be in office, and if you're intelligent and you have wisdom, you will learn to pay your due diligence, read stuff that's set in front of you. You can be unqualified and become qualified. When I joined the Navy, I wasn't qualified to shoot a gun, but the Navy didn't say, well, you can't be a sailor because you can't shoot. I couldn't swim when I joined the Navy. The Navy, and this is war. You got to be able to swim to be in the Navy. They didn't say, well, you can't swim, you can't be in the Navy. They said, you shall learn. And I did. Same thing with anything else. But the thing is, the capability of a person to learn. Stupid people can't learn. Stupid people can't learn. So that's what you need to be worried about. Is the person that's running for office, is that stupid? And what kind of character do they have? What, you know, a Republican candidate here in my part of the state has been quoted as saying something. I'm not going to quote him, but I'm just going to paraphrase what I read. They said was that past performance is a indicator of future performance or something of that nature. And that was attributed to, that is not a quote, it's a paraphrase of a quote from Senator Josh McCoon, District 29, here in the great state of Georgia, who is running against a very close friend of mine, who is challenging him, Brian Roslin, from Pine Mountain Valley. And if that's the case, we have, you know, this causes me much fear. We have a senator who likes the grandstand for everybody else in the state but the people of his district. And he has people, all this guy's new. He's not going to have a seat at the table. You know, he's not going to have this. But the guy has a good idea. Brian has good ideas. He has a caring heart. He doesn't have a deceitful character. He's not one that attempts to go out his way to concoct stories to hide things. There are not people around him, you know, blowing smoke screens for his life. He's an open out there person. You ask it, he's going to tell it. Not Senator Josh McCoon. But we got that going around the whole state. We got Republicans trying to scare us up by saying, oh, I'm so honest. I'm so honest that I turned down bribes from my own Republican Party. That statement, a statement similar to that, was made by Republican candidate Gene King, who's running for House District 132, which is my House District, running against Bob Trammell. Yeah, I'm giving plugs for my Democratic candidate. My show. I can do that. But, one, you just admitted out their mouth that they corrupt. And since they corrupt like that, you don't want to talk about your own corruption. You don't want to talk about the numerous times you done been to court for cheating people. You don't want to talk about all the things that you've done. And you peas in the pot with your own party. So don't come here trying to tell us how good and honest you are because you didn't accept their bribe. Yeah, you're telling us that today. Just like Senator McCoon said, he's fighting for ethics, but he's not yet stood up as being as cheerleader and told Governor Dealer, you need to step down. Because you are everything that I stand against. But instead, he shows up at every event the Governor Deal is at. He stood right there beside Ralph Hudgens when we talked about Medicaid expansion. See, obstructionist. He stood next to Ralph Hudgens when Ralph Hudgens first told Georgia, I will obstruct. And then he thanked Josh McCoon for helping him with the legislation that they eventually passed to obstruct Medicaid expansion in Georgia. That's what y'all to be scared of. Not Muslims coming across the water, chopping our head off, not a disease from Africa that's going to infect us, but people taking your liberty and your freedom and your equal opportunity to pursue happiness in America because they want a little power. They want to be somebody when they grow up. I'm going to take a break right now, and I'll be right back. This is Down South and Dirty with Scott Smith. Hi, this is Scott Down South and Dirty with Scott Smith. And tomorrow here in Georgia, October 13th, is the beginning of early voting. I don't particularly care what persuasion or political party you subscribe to, you need to go vote. But for my Democrats, my fellow progressives, I need for you to go vote. I need you to go vote like you've never voted before. I need you to go vote. The Republicans here have made their race about President Obama. If you listen to them, all of them want to try to take and paint their opponent as being an Obama liberal or in Obama's pocket. So if you are that hard supporter of the President of the United States, you go out and vote because of that. And make sure that we stop them from being able to obstruct our president from continuing the things that he's done that's brought us out of the Great Recession, that has put us in 55 months of positive job growth, that has cut the deficit in half, that has us on a path to a real recovery. But let's tell the truth. Majority of the policies that are passed in Washington will not affect Georgia tomorrow. They will affect Georgia 3-4 years from now. Policies that will be passed in the state legislature or will be pushed and promoted by our constitutional officers. The ordinances that will be passed by our county commissioners that are up for election this year will affect you a lot sooner than what goes on in Washington. In Georgia, we lack Medicaid funding. We're worse than the country in unemployment. Number one for business, though. So what they tell you, we're worse in unemployment, number one for business. There's a scam going on. Two of the top 10 counties for income inequality are right here in the state of Georgia. Fulton County, Georgia, where I was born. Holy Family Catholic Hospital, which is now which became Southwest Fulton Regional. And Troup County, Georgia, where I presently live. Two, either the number six, number nine, or two and nine, with Troup County being ninth. Ninth in the nation for income inequality. Two counties in the state of Georgia income inequality. Top 10. And those are the only counties that were in. The only reason those counties rank because of the population being 63,000 or more. And Troup County just barely makes that. Now, we have a lot of work to do. We've been living, these income inequality gaps have been growing in Georgia since we allowed the Republicans to take over our government. Our unemployment problem has become worse since we allowed the Republicans to take over our government. Our children are not getting educated because of the things that Republicans are doing in our government. There's so many things in which when you go to find out about Georgia, that we're in the negative minds of people because of our... This is Georgia. Georgia's always on my mind, should always be on your mind. Even for my relatives who may be listening to me every once in a while who live up in Illinois and they in Ohio, out in California, Georgia's always on their mind because this is home. There are many of us around this great country who Georgia is on their mind. Georgia is on the mind of the national news, national politics stage right now. Why? Because Georgia is something to be paid attention to. We were known as the Empire State of the South. Atlanta became one of the first southern cities to hit super city status. The world's busiest airport is here in Georgia, in Atlanta. You have more highway connections that come through the state of Georgia than a little bit. It's a southern, it's a southeastern regional transportation hub. We are getting the new harbor dredged in Savannah. We're becoming an automotive power. We're becoming a manufacturing power, technology power. Movies are created in Georgia. Those are some of the positive things that take place here in Georgia. So why is Georgia under... is worst in the country for unemployment? Why are there such an income gap present? Because Democrats are not getting out, going to vote for the best interest of Georgia. There are a few sitting at the top. They vote Republican, and they want to destroy your right to vote, your freedom, your liberty, your equal opportunity, so that they can continue to make obscene profits and leave you out of the party, leave you out of the prosperity, taking away your American dream. You need to go vote. Starting tomorrow, we can't play with this. You need to go vote. You need to go, like John Lewis said, you need to go vote early, and you need to vote often. And every time that we go up to get ready to vote, you need to be there. It needs to be like you want to go to the club on Saturday night, or you, for you who go to church on Sunday morning. Your obligation to go have fun should be the same, have the same spirit as your spirit to go vote. So if you like to go have fun, you need to go vote. If you like to go turn up, you need to go turn out. Because Georgia and the nation is depending on you. I want to be able to go around starting next week. It's the Post the Peach campaign. When you go vote, you like to take your selfie. Go take your selfie with your Georgia Peach, I'm a Georgia voter button, but sticker on your chest. Go do a ching, you know what I'm saying, get that selfie in. Let us see you. Go motivate your friends. Take multiple selfies. But when y'all out there, boom, go do it. The right to vote matters. If you don't go vote this November and put Democrats in office, you got something to be fearful for. Because they will cut back voting. They've already said it. They're gonna do it. We got to be able to put at least a stop to it, or at least slow them down. We need a governor that will be in office if that bill passes to restrict voting here in Georgia, that he can veto it. We need a secretary of state that will make sure that things get processed right in the state. Because, shoot, if a business can't get a business license on time or a nurse can't get her license renewed on time, shoot, we're going to continue to have unemployment. And then sooner or later, we're not going to be number one for business because guess what? Business is not going to be able to transact Their paperwork through the Secretary of State's office because Brian Kemp screws that up on a regular basis. So I'm even talking to my Republicans, particularly my moderates. Stop letting this Tea Party crazy crew keep control. Your moderates are losing in primaries to these crazy folks. The best choice you got is the Democratic Party. Yeah, my friend Doug Craig will probably come say, no. You can vote for the Libertarian. No. Whereas I love to see the Libertarian Power Party have equal access to the ballot, I still disagree with half of their platform. So you're used to how we're going to govern. You know that we've always governed fairly. A Democratic candidate will tell you they will listen to their entire constituency. If you listen to Democratic candidates, we're being very careful to make sure that we are listening to all of you. We're not going out there pushing a liberal agenda. Why? Because we don't have one. We have an American Georgian agenda that's for all the people of the great state of Georgia and the United States of America. We're not pandering to one group of people who are yelling, hollering, screaming, take my country back. Take it back from what? When did you lose it? You didn't. Need your help. Need you to go vote. All the votes start tomorrow, October 13th. Democrats, vote from the top of the ballot to the end of the ballot. Folks here in True County, I need you to turn out for Jerome Mike Offer, the chairman of the county commission. I need you to do it. He has the best interest of all of True County in his hands. And some of our Democrats are attempting to hold the status quo. And and everybody who knows the True County Democratic Party knows that our motto is moving troops forward. So to hold the status quo is holding spot. Don't get no better. We like it just the way it is. That ain't what we're for. We're about moving forward. So go vote Jerome Mike Offer starting tomorrow, October 13th. I'm going to vote for, I wholeheartedly endorse Jerome Mike Offer for the chairmanship of the county commission. I endorse Brian Rosler, Bob Trammell, Debbie Buckner, Cynthia Bennett. They all have my wholehearted endorsement for those here in West Georgia. Keith Jenkins down in Thomas County, you have my wholehearted endorsement. Renita Hamilton, you have my endorsement. James Nixon, Douglas County, you got my wholehearted endorsement. Donzella James, you got it. Every Democrat that's running here in the state of Georgia, I wholeheartedly endorse you. Jason Carter, Connie Stokes, Liz Johnson, Valerie Wilson, Doreen Carter, Daniel Blackman, Chris Irvin, Greg Hicks, Robin Shipp. You all have my wholehearted endorsement. Democrats are working hard for you all across the state. Understand that. Believe it. The battle is there. We're taking it to it tomorrow. I need you, all USU Democrats, to go out there, fight with us tomorrow. Start. The offensive starts tomorrow. We got to run. We got to make it happen. We can turn Georgia blue. And I'll see y'all again on the next go-round. Go out there. Vote like there's no tomorrow. Turn up to turn out. Post the peach. Turn Georgia blue. This is Down South and Dirty with Scott Smith. See y'all next time.